Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading tonight will be taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 27.
Stopped at 12.
Okay. So Romans chapter 8, I'll begin to read from verse 12 to verse 27. It can be found on page 1134 in case you're following along with the Pew's Bible. Hear the word of God. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the Son, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation was being grooming as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and redemption for our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Here ends our Bible reading tonight. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his holy words, and unto his name be praise and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. So this is the word of God.
Good evening. I said that just to check that I was turned on, but I am actually saying good evening. So today, as we heard a little this morning, is Adoption Sunday, a day where we're encouraged as a church to consider and pray for and support those who have adopted children, those who are in the process of becoming adoptive parents, those who are at the stage of thinking and praying about the possibility, and of course for those who have been adopted. And as I was thinking about this and I talked to Kai and to Liz, about this because, as many of you may know, they are adoptive. No, they are parents who've adopted children. Kai said to me, "Forget about all of the stuff on the web. You've got a story to tell, girl. So tell them a story." Can't quite do a Kai, but I try. I could move around like him, but I can't do that either. Good thing, eh? We're not the same people. So I'm going to tell you some of my story as an adoptee and share with you from the Word of God about how we are all in that category. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you that adoption started with you. That the world has taken a hold of something which is so beautiful, bringing children into families where they can belong. But Lord, it started with you. And I pray, God, that you would warm our hearts tonight. Lord, that you'd open up the possibilities in us, that we will be those who acknowledge that we are children of God. And that we would be those who are able to share that love with people who need to know that they can also be children of God. Lord, we pray that the church would open its arms and embrace all those who are involved in the adoption system, wherever they're at. So Lord, we open our hearts to you now and ask that by your Spirit you'd inspire us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a few facts and figures. In the UK, a child is taken into the care system every 22 minutes. Every 22 minutes, another child goes into the care system. And this accounts for the crisis, quite a big crisis in the care system, where it's bursting at the seams. For a start, there are over 50,000 children on child protection registers. These are the children whom social workers have identified as at continuing risk of physical, emotional, or sexual abuse or neglect. And this may just be the tip of the iceberg. Now, when we hear statistics like that, quite often what we want to do is just crash out. A bit like the Titanic, which sank as it hit the iceberg. All compassion that we may have, that might have been rising in our hearts for the orphaned, for the abandoned, the neglected or abused, or those who've been cast aside, dissipates as we shut our ears and protect our hearts from being affected by what we're hearing. This has been labelled as compassion fatigue. Not a word that we hear, or not a phrase that we hear as often as we used to. But when we were seeing children who were starving, like there was another famine, and then there was another famine, and we kind of just said, there's not a lot I can do. And so we chose not to do anything. If I can't change the world, then what is there that I can actually do? Now, my intention, albeit not like it seems right now, is not to condemn anyone who hears this message or to highlight anyone's pain. Because it doesn't matter which room you're in. There will be some who are in pain because of fatherlessness, motherlessness, being orphans, or having an orphan spirit. There's always pain in the room, and I don't seek to pull that out tonight. If that happens while I'm speaking, if pain starts rising, please would you turn your eyes and fix them on Jesus. And allow for his Spirit to bring peace and healing into your place of pain. I know the pain. I am an adoptee. So I'm not going to give you a lecture this evening on what we could be doing to help the situation. That's not something that I am in any way qualified to do. I've read some of the book which is written by Krish and Miriam Kandaya, which is called Home for Good, in preparation for this sermon. And some of the information that I've already used and some that I will quote from comes from that book. It's quite a heavy read. In that it really does tug at your heartstrings. I'll ask for a link to that book to be put on Church Suite so that you can access it later. There's also a website of the same name where there's lots of testimonies and information galore for you to be inspired by. So what I am more able to do is to share my story with you. A story that starts at a time in our history before abortion was made legal in this country. And often what happened when a girl or a woman became pregnant and gave birth outside of marriage was that she was made to nurture that child for 6 weeks before giving it over to adoption. Others may have been raised by as children in another member of the family's homes as their own. And there are other scenarios, but I'm not going to reference them because that's not my story. Because of the hand of God on my life, I am hugely privileged to have been born when the lifestyle of my birth mother was such that in the following decades would have resulted in my being aborted for the pure inconvenience of my conception. I was born at the right time. Remember, this is my story. I'm not condemning anyone in what I'm saying. This is my story. I was taken into a Barnardo's children's home. Yay, Barnardo's. And I was fostered out from there by my mum and dad. They already had two children when the famine in Biafra, now this would be giving away my name, so don't go Googling it, please. My age. The famine in Biafra became known and they decided to adopt a child in need when they heard of the crisis in another part of the world. And they brought me into their family, made me one with their natural children and nurtured me alongside them equally. Their love for me was unflappable. When I got into difficulties as a teenager, which I did, but that's a part of the story you don't know, need to know, they encouraged the natural gifts that I had. And they helped me to grow through the trials. I never thought of my parents as like step-parents or my adoptive parents. There was never any label. They were just mum and dad. Now, I'm not going to take you through the whole of my life story because it would just take too long. Just to say that being adopted into a family was the saving of Lindy. When I came to know Jesus again, that was the saving of Lindy. Coming to know that God adopted me into his family was my saving. His saving grace brought me in, broke down all of the barriers and the obstacles so that I could know that I'm loved. An incredible God. Amazing grace. I'm going to give you a few more facts, just in case you're like this famine fatigue, whatever it's called. What did I call it? Compassion fatigue, thank you. 27% of the current prison population in the UK was once a child in care. Which means, statistically speaking, most of those convicts would have experienced abuse and neglect as a child and have offended as part of the resulting long-term legacy of emotional, developmental, and behavioural disabilities. Persistent emotional damage inflicted on a child in those very first few weeks and months is tragically likely to leave that child with scars for life. This could have been me. My mother, my birth mother, was promiscuous in the 60s. Actually, no, it was late 50s. I want to give you it all away. It's out there. She was a part of, and you may have heard of it, some of you, of the Profumo affair. She was the girlfriend of Stephen Ward, who was seen to be the fall guy for an awful load of corruption within government where they were supplying prostitutes. I was so thrilled to discover that my mother was not a prostitute, but that she was his girlfriend, because that was something which was in my head as a teenager, that maybe I was the product of something not very nice. But I wasn't. But my mother was a part of that scene where there was lots of swimming parties with lots of uppers and downers and all sorts of stuff. That's what drug use was coming up big time. And she ended up dying of a Mogadon misuse, really, overdose. So my life, if I had stayed in that situation, would have been appalling. But by the grace of God, I was saved from that. I've been adopted into a family with parents who loved me unconditionally. As a child of 4 and a half, I remember walking to a street, down the street in Aberaeron. And I had a pretty dress on, and I was on my way for the adoption papers to be signed. I just have this memory of this is the day, the exciting day, when I would become a part of the family. So there we were, and my parents, I don't remember this bit, I just remember the pretty dress and going down the street. But it was there that my parents signed the forms and certificates. And so I went from being Faye Gulliver to Lindy Faye Birch. I had a new identity. My name was changed, and I began a new life as an official member with inheritance rights within the family of Charles and Nettie and my two siblings. I became aware, though, that I was different when, at the age of 7, I was told that I was adopted. Now, a 7-year-old can't say the word adopted very well when they first hear it, and I went around telling everybody that I'd been doctored, which is a completely different thing. But I knew that there was difference, that I was different from my siblings, that they had been given birth to and I had been chosen by my parents. I was made to feel special and chosen. And the effect of this on my siblings, I won't even ever know. But for me, knowing that my parents had gone and picked me out was affirming and of great comfort. And comfort was something I desperately needed a lot of as I grew up. Because something was always missing. I always had a feeling of abandonment and a fear of abandonment. I always felt that I was chosen because I'd been rejected. This created faults in my personality, always wanting to be liked, to be accepted, to be chosen. You know, in that line when they're calling people out to be in the netball team or hockey or whatever it was. Always wanting it to be me, but it wasn't me. Some of you may know that feeling of not being chosen. Then about 6 years ago, I was told that I have a half-brother who had been, like me, given up for adoption, and his story isn't as encouraging as mine is. His life, though he was dearly loved, has taken a completely different trajectory. And in seeing his pain, I'm able to see just how much the Holy Spirit has brought Father's healing into my life. No longer am I fearful of being rejected, of being abandoned. And so I'm just going to ask Beth to play the song by Jonathan and Melissa Helser, "No Longer a Slave to Fear, I Am a Child of God." Because this really is my testimony. Yes, I am a child of God. God split the seas. He made it possible for me to come into his family. To give you a story of an adoptee who's been brought into a family and nurtured and loved is only part of the story. The main part of the story is that God has chosen me. That when I have been rejected, he said, "You're the one that I want. It is you that I'm going to take hold of. And I'm going to place you in that place of beauty. That you're going to come and sit at my right hand. You're going to be the one that I display for my glory. You are the one who I love more than anything, and that it's totally unconditional. And I've given everything that I am so that you can stand and say that you are my child." That's incredible. That's why that's my testimony. That song is like everything that's within me that says, "God, you're my daddy. You're my father. I know you as the one who will never, ever let me down. I know you as the one who split the seas. I know you as the one who gave up your son so that he would die on the cross so that I could be redeemed. I am a child of God. You are children of the living God." What an amazing testimony we all have. We have all been adopted into God's family. We all are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. That's who we are. So when we talk about adoption, when I talk about adoption, I know what it's like to be able to say I've been adopted. How many of us are able to say I've been adopted twice? And I know the very best adoption. I had an incredible family. My brother didn't. Not everybody does. It doesn't always work. It's personalities involved. There's hurt that's involved. There's pain and suffering. But you know, when we become children of the living God, he wipes away all of that. He deals with it. I know that God's done an incredible work in me. When I went and did Flow, there was one of the things which, oh gosh, it's Jack Frost, his name is. A lot of people who've done Flow don't like Jack Frost. They find him really difficult. Go and YouTube him and find out why. But there was something that he said that completely unlocked me, where I thought I had mother issues because I'd been abandoned by my mother. He showed me through it that actually I had father issues. And in dealing with my father issues, he dealt with my abandonment issues that I had with my mother. When my mum died, my birth mum had died back in the 80s. When my mum died, I went through this period of terrible abandonment where I felt like there was something really damaged about me, because I had two mothers who'd gone. I was in Soul Survivor. And I was sitting there and I was weeping on the, I can't call it a carpet. Yeah, I guess it was a carpet. I was sitting there weeping because my heart was completely broken because I felt that abandonment so strongly, so acutely. And a woman came over and prayed for me, and she said just these words, "Father, show her where you were when they cut the umbilical cord." I hadn't said anything to her. How did she know? But of course, Father God knew. He knew that I felt abandoned from the womb because I was unwanted in the womb. And what he showed me was himself taking a hold of my umbilical cord as it was cut, and he attached it to himself. So at that point, I knew that everything in my life that had nearly gone wrong, that, you know, bad teenager, naughty things, didn't quite happen. And it was because he'd already taken a hold of my life and said, "I choose you. You don't know it yet, but I choose you. You're mine. I'm going to win you. I'm going to woo you until you know me as your own," which is what he did. All of us have been damaged in some way or other. It's great to know that, isn't it? Just thought I'd throw that in, you know, lighten the mood a bit. And God has never turned away from us, because he's promised that he'll never leave or forsake us. So he's never said, "Sorry, you're not good enough. Don't want to know you." He doesn't do that. He goes and he picks us up and he carries us and he nurtures us and he brings us back to life. Because that's what daddies do. That daddy, the best daddy. That's what he does. Because he loves us so much. He shows us unconditional love. He gives us hope and a chance to start again. He gives us a family. This is family. Here we are in St. Michael's. Family, together. Those who know that we're loved by God. Children of the living God. I am a child of God. But there are some who have that extra calling, incredible calling, that says, "See that child there? God says, I want you to be my arms and hands and take a hold of that child and bring them into your family." It's quite a high calling. It's a difficult thing because children come with their brokenness. Those first early years of, or weeks and months, where they've not been nurtured, can cause an awful lot of difficulties in their personality. And so the call to be an adoptive parent is quite a big thing. But we can help them. There are people in our own church who are doing that. It is our place to come alongside them. Who is it who said it takes a whole village to bring up a child? Well, it takes a whole church to adopt a child. We are those who are called by God to nurture and help and encourage along and find a pram when they need it and, you know, take them a meal and do all of those things that we need to do to encourage new parents as they rear up these children who wouldn't have a home without them. There are things we can do to support them. There are things that we can do to support you. If anyone here is either dreaming, thinking, maybe could it be that God is calling me to be an adoptive parent or a foster parent? Could that be me? If you're at that stage, or if you're in the process of becoming, you're going through a massive process with social services being vetted and interviewed and people giving reports on you, all of the stuff that has to go on, which has to go on. If you're in that process, if you are an adoptee, and maybe it hasn't been as successful as it has been for me. If you're any of those, please come and speak to either Mark or Kai or me or Hannah, our family worker. what a job she has in encouraging on those who are looking after and nurturing our children. Come and talk to us, because we want to develop strategies and ways of helping those who are in need. And that includes those who are helping those who are in need. There's a wonderful thing that Grace has set up where, or Hannah, I don't know, it's a bit amongst them, where we go and we provide meals for people. It's a great thing. We can all do that. But there are so many other things that we can do to be family for those who are providing family. I did say I wasn't going to lecture. I hope I've not. But I hope as well that your heartstrings are tugged a little bit. Because we are all adoptees in God's family. Those words we heard, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." Our suffering with him is putting ourselves out so that we can be the hands, the love, the arms that those who are providing loving arms and care to others. That's our job. So let's just pray as we close. Thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, you're interceding for us. You're interceding for us because you see the work that our hearts are stirred to do. And we need you. We ask by your Spirit that you will give us the inspiration so that we can nurture and help those who are nurturing and helping others. In Jesus' name, amen.